الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال إني ذاهب إلى ربي سيهدين ربي هب لي من الصالحين فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected mothers and sisters in Islam, I have recited a few ayats of the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the great sacrifices that were made by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. With regard to him, Allah ta'ala in another place says, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ refers to a heart that is subjugated to the will and the command of Allah, inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, desirous of the muhabba and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A pure heart, قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And actually the translation of salim could also mean a healthy heart, a heart that is correct, pure in its belief, in its ideologies, and also with regard to the muhabbat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, one is having the correct understanding and beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to iman, with regard to tawheed, with regard to la ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Together with that, was the desire that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had within him that all of mankind must come upon the wahdaniyat and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Allah ta'ala says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam speaks to his father, speaks to his people, his own family members, and speaks to his community as well. And he tries to reason with them. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ. What is this that you are worshipping? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as most of us know, was born in a home of an idol maker. Not only an idol worshipper, but an idol maker and seller. He used to sell idols. بَاعِئُ الْأَصْنَامِ. He was a person who used to sell idols. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had the difficult task of reasoning with such a father. One is it was his father. He had to show adab and respect to him. The other is that the father, you know, had this incorrect beliefs and ideologies. Not only that, he was making money out of this incorrect belief and ideologies of his. He was selling the idol, so he was making money out of it also. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to reason with such a father. And he said, tells his father, Mada ta'budun, what is this that you are worshipping? It cannot hear, it cannot see, it cannot benefit, it cannot harm. How can you worship such a thing? Father is not prepared to listen because the dunya was going to be affected, you know, because that income is going to be stopped should he leave these idols. So the dunya was blinding the father. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ أَيْفْكَنْ آلِهَةً دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You know, are you worshipping something that is of no benefit? And you are desirous of gaining benefit from that besides Allah, from that which will not be able to benefit you, will not be able to do anything for you. It cannot benefit, it cannot harm. It's of no, you know, it's of no benefit whatsoever. فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He says, look at, what thoughts do you have about رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of the entire universe? What type of a mindset do you have regarding رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, regarding Allah who is Lord of the entire universe? You have taken the attributes and the qualities of Allah and you have passed it on to something which is lifeless, which is makhluk, which is a creation of a creation. You have carved these things out of your own hands. You have made this thing yourself and thereafter you're bowing down to it and you want assistance from it. Whereas Rabbul Alameen, Lord of the entire universe, sustainer of the entire universe, only and only He can benefit and harm. He is the one that has control over everything. But the people were not prepared to listen. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam thought of an idea. فَنَذَرَ نَذْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ فَتَوَلُّ عَنْهُ مُدْبِرِينَ فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ آلِيَتِهِمْ فَقَالَ لَا تَأْكُلُونَ مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنْتِقُونَ فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ. You know, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam thought of an idea. It so happened that the community was going out of town for a festive day, which they used to go out in the outskirts of town. And everybody used to go there and they used to go in, you know, in honor of their idols. And they used to have some fun and it was merry making and used to have a festive day. So the entire community, entire town used to be out. So they invited Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam to come with, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam made an excuse and he said that I'm not coming. I'm not feeling well. You see, and I'm not going to be joining you. So when the community had left and they were gone out, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam goes to the temple. And there he looks at all these idols, different sizes, different shapes, different types. You see. And different idols had different positions in the eyes of the people also. They were assigned different responsibilities by their own by the people that fashioned them and made them. So he goes up to these idols and he says, what is it with you that you cannot speak, you cannot hear? Of what use are you? There was a whole lot of food that was placed in front of those idols. And he says, what is this that you can't even eat all this? Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam started smashing these idols. He broke the whole lot of them and except one big idol. He left it, took the axe and he hangs it onto that idol. The big one. And he goes away from them. When the people return from that festive day, they go to the temple to go pay their respects there, and they find that all the idols are broken down. See? So, all of them, immediately realize it could be only the job of one person. And that was Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, because he was the one that was inviting towards the oneness of Allah, refuting all these idols, and speaking about the greatness of Allah, and speaking about the uselessness of these idols. So they immediately got hold of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, and they asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ بِعَالِيَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِعَالِيَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Oh Ibrahim, did you do this to our idols? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوا مِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. That, see, why are you asking me? There's the big idol there. The axe is hanging on his neck. There's the big idol. Ask him if he can speak. But the people realized how foolish they were, that these idols cannot speak, they cannot do anything. So then they had mashwara amongst themselves. Obviously they had no answer for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but they said, no, we need to assist our idols. We need to assist our idols. You see, generally a person turns to his creator, to his maker, he turns to that one who he has made worthy of being worshipped, he turns to that being. Here they couldn't turn to those beings, they were smashed. So they said, no, let us help our idols. And how they're going to help him, help them, is by taking Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and throwing him into the fire. So this mashwara was going on, and this entire, you know, incident was a big talk of the town. Everybody was speaking about it, and it so happens that Namrud, the king of that time, he hears about it. So he tells the people, send Ibrahim alayhi salam, get hold of him and bring him to me, send him to me. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was taken to Namrud. And there's a dialogue that takes place between Namrud and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim fi rabbihi an ataahu Allahu al-mulk. إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت. The dialogue takes place. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gives Namrud Dawud. He found an opportunity. He was taken to the court or to the palace of Namrud. He finds an opportunity, gives him Dawud towards the wahdaniyat and the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah. Namrud was also one of those kings who used to make his people worship him. So they were on one side worshipping the idols, and on the other side they were worshipping what you can say the government of that time. They were worshipping the king. They were bowing down to the king. That the king was everything for them. You see, as though the king does everything for them, the king is going to benefit and harm them. And Namrud also, that power that he enjoyed went into his head. So he thought to himself, you know, that I am the person, you know, I am the being. And I need to be worshipped. Every person that comes into his court had to bow down to him. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not bow down to him. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam understood that la ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Allah has created insan solely for his ibadat. Allah has created the entire dunya for the benefit of man. But man, Allah has created for his ibadat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have created ins and jinn for our worship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only for my ibadat. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gives Namrud Dawud, speak to him about the greatness of Allah. So this Namrud asks Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that tell me, who is your Rabb? Explain to me more. See, so, and he begins to debate with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam say that, my Allah, my Rabb, alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim fi rabbi an atahu Allahu al-mulk, idh qala Ibrahim rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit. My Allah is the one that gives life and the one that takes life. Life and death is in the hands of Allah. No person can give life and no person can take life. When a person is born, any child that comes into the world, his lifespan is fixed by Allah. The lifespan of each individual is fixed by Allah. The rizq, the rozi, the sustenance of every person is fixed by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided. Before the person even comes into this world, it's written down. His taqdeer is already fixed. Allah has fixed it already. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is explaining to Namrud that my Allah is the one that gives life. Every soul that came into this world, every person that comes, that soul is put into that human being, into that form. That soul that comes and the ruh that comes in is from Allah. In fact, that jism and that body is also created by Allah. Everything is in the control of Allah and is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explains to him, yuhi wa yumit. And when the time is up, it is Allah that causes the ruh to be taken out from the body. So Namrud, like you find the kings of this age, you know, they can be very foolish, very stupid. When there's no iman and kufr sets in the mind, then kufr brings about stupidity also. So Namrud said, "Ana uhi wa umir, I give life and I take life also." So then says, "I give life and I take life also." And what did he do? He got his men to get one prisoner or bring two prisoners. The one he released him. He said, "See, this person, I could have executed him, but he releases him. See, I gave life." And the other person, he gives the hukam, he gives the command, the executioners, he executes him, he kills him, and he says, "See, I took a life." So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam realized how foolish this king was. So he didn't argue with him on that point. قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, we cannot argue with him on that point. He's going to go on. He's so, you know, dumb upstairs, that is best for me not to argue on with him regarding that point. If his understanding of life and death is that, how will he ever understand? Like, unfortunately today, you know, people's understanding of life and death is very different also. See, people feel that life is in the hands of, you know, the medical field, or in the hands of the doctors or the hospitals. Whereas it's not there. Life and death is in the hands of Allah. They are only a means. Yes, if you are sick, you will go to the doctor, you will go to the hospital. But life and death is only in the hands of Allah. And this is proven over and over again. Two persons with exactly the same ailment, same illness and sickness, they go to the same hospital, treated by the same doctor, checked upon by the same nurses and the same nursing staff. But you find one person dies and one person comes home well. What does this prove to us? That it is not the doctor, it is not the medication, it is not the hospital, it is not the nurses. It is Allah that gives life, and it is Allah that takes life. Benefit and harm is in the hands of Allah. Sickness is in the hands of Allah. Shifa and health and cure is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Poverty and wealth is in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. There's thousands of people, very, very intelligent, but they can't make ends meet. And on the other hand, there were many failures in school, and yet they are so well off, you know, so prosperous in life. This shows us again, over and over again, this proves to us that Allah is in control, and Allah is the one that decrees the life of each individual. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam thought to himself, no use arguing with this fool. Then he said to him, "My Allah," you see, قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق. My Allah causes the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. If you think you are God, and if you think you have the power, then you make the sun rise from the west and let it set in the east. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Say, Namrud had no jawab, had no answer whatsoever. So then he is left speechless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. That he was left speechless, confounded, confused, and didn't know what to say. So now the only solution which now, you know, which you'll find all the so-called superpowers of the world, you'll always find this comes the next step of this. Always you'll find this. The first step is to reason. The second step is to argue. Then is to belittle. Then it is to, to threaten. So they start threatening. Exactly the same thing happened to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First they came to reason, then they came to bribe, and then they started threatening, and then they even came to a point where they wanted to now use force, and they wanted to execute or kill Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same thing happened. In fact, this has been happening to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. So then, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, now because they had no answer, they decided that we need to now get rid of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Get rid of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So they gathered as much wood as they could or whatever, they fueled a huge fire, and they decided to throw Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam into the fire, which most of us are aware of the incident also. You know, the fire was so huge that they couldn't even go near the fire. They had to actually use a caterpillar to throw Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam into the fire, to fling him into the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his qudrat kamila. In fact, if you look at all the different episodes or the different stories of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, it is a show of the qudrat and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we read these stories, the more we hear about it, it will increase our iman and our yaqeen on the zat and the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as often as possible, we should be reading and speaking about the stories of the Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of these stories, not for nothing. It is for us to increase our iman. So when this fire was ready, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being thrown into the fire, even the angels were concerned. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and his tawajjuh was upon Allah, upon the zat and the qudrat of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so desired, he could have caused a severe windstorm that could have blown that entire fire off, or caused torrential rains to fall, which would have also put off that fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his qudrat kamila, wanted to show his power. Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had connected himself to Allah. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, which we mentioned in the beginning, بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. He came towards Allah with a pure heart. Pure heart means his complete trust upon Allah. When we rest our trust upon Allah, and we rest our case with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see to every need of ours. But we need to have that tawakkul and that trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will come by us speaking about the greatness of Allah, turning our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter of ours. In fact, in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That on the day of Qiyamah, no, our families, our wealth, nothing will benefit us. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Our wealth and our families, our children, will be of no benefit to us. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for the one who comes to Allah with a pure heart. بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. As we mentioned, a pure heart and a healthy heart. Healthy heart, as I mentioned in the beginning already, means a person who has the correct beliefs, correct understanding. Even the mindset of the person has to be correct. Unfortunately, today many of us, perhaps we are reading Salah, we doing our charity work, but many of us, our mindsets are not correct. We have an ideology which is completely in conflict, or a mindset which is in complete conflict to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very, very important to have a mindset which is also in conformity to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have the mindset of Sahaba. Have the mindset of Awliya Allah and the pious servants of Allah. We cannot be living as Muslims but with a mindset of kufr, with a mindset of the atheists and the agnostics. We have to have a mindset like that which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, we will be in total loss. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being thrown into the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used other means of extinguishing, or many means of extinguishing the fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let the fire be extinguished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his qudrat. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam falls into the fire. The fire is still there. Allah wanted to show fire is makhluk. The quality of burning is also makhluk, is also a creation of Allah. The fire in itself is a creation of Allah, and the ability to burn is also a creation of Allah. The sun, which Allah created, is a creation of Allah. The light which emanates from the sun is also a creation of Allah. If Allah Ta'ala wants, He can give light without sun. Allah Ta'ala can give you light without the sun also. In Jannah, there will be no sun, but there will be light. This is to show this in itself shows the qudrat and the power of Allah. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the hukam and the command, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. O fire, become cool. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. Cool and peaceful. Peaceful in the sense it mustn't become so cold that he starts freezing in the fire, but peaceful, something where he can relax in. There was no anxiety, no anxiousness, no worry. He was relaxed in the fire. Different narrations suggest that he stayed there for, perhaps a week, and some suggest for 40 days. There are different narrations as to how long Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stayed in the fire, but eventually he walks out of the fire. People saw this. It was such a great miracle. But if Hidayat is not written, then unfortunately, even after witnessing such a great miracle and such a great mojiza, and after witnessing this Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that the people still did not accept. They refused to accept. So then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, eventually making effort amongst the people, looking at the antagonism of the people, and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after being given the ijazat, wahi revelation comes to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he decides to leave and make hijrat. Many anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrat. Hijrat is from amongst the sunnats of anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And hijrat is a great sacrifice. It's a great sacrifice that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had to make, and many others also had to make. Hijrat is not a small thing. That is why our Islamic calendar starts off from the hijrah. You say 1441 Hijri. Why? Because hijrat was a great sacrifice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba Kiram had to make hijrat. Leaving your hometown, leaving your family, your birthplace is not easy. It's a very, very great sacrifice. It's a difficult task. That is why when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Sharif, and he was making hijrat to Madinah Sharif, as he was walking, he's turning around and he's looking at the Kaaba Sharif. And he's saying, "Oh Kaaba, I love you. Oh Kaaba, I love you. Had my people not turned me away, I would have never left this place." Because it's not easy to make hijrat. Say, for many years after leaving Makkah, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to recite poetry in memory of Makkah. Used to recite poetry in memory of Makkah, the Kaaba, even the area of the Haram. He used to recite poetry which depicts the mountains of Makkah, etc. Why? Because it's not easy to leave your hometown. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam realized that for the sake of deen, for the protection of deen, we have to make hijrat. And therefore he left. وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Which the ayat of the Quran which I recited in the beginning, in the khutbah, where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tells his father, "I am leaving now. I cannot remain in a place where there is the disobedience of Allah, there is kufr, and where we cannot be free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So then he leaves. He goes away to Sham. From there he lands up in Palestine. And for many, many years continues with the effort of deen. At around the age of about 86, he makes dua, or prior to that, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him, he had no offsprings, he had no children, to grant him some children. فَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ رَبِّي هَبْ لِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, grant me pious offspring. Whenever we make dua for children, we must make dua for pious children. Hazrat Ji Malana Masihullah Rahmatullahi of Jalalabad, whenever anybody used to say, you know, this is my son, this is my daughter, my child, make dua for him. Hazrat Ji, and they used to say, make dua, he become Hafiz al-Quran, make dua, he become Alim. Hazrat Ji used to say, Allah unko nek banawe. Hazrat Ji used to say, Allah make him pious. Why, he can be an alim but not pious. He can be a hafiz but he's not pious. He's disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine having the Quran in your heart and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and committing haram. So therefore, he should make dua that Allah must make them pious. He must become a pious alim, a pious hafiz, a pious doctor, a pious lawyer, one who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah unko nek banawe, make them pious and make them conscious of Allah. So this is also from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Rabbi habli minas salihin, O Allah, grant me pious offspring. And at the ripe age of about 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a son by the name of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The mother of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was Bibi Hajra alayhi salam. After the child was born, we can well imagine how excited the father must have been. Age of 86, getting this beautiful child. How excited he was, you know. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam again. And not only that, for it to remain as a lesson for the ummah to come. That our whole maqsad on the surface of this earth is to please Allah. Our desires, our whims and our fancies, our loved ones, everything one side. When it is in opposition to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala wanted to prove this, and Allah ta'ala wanted to show to mankind that take the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, look at his example. Till the day of Qiyamah, we will have to look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as well. Like we look at the example of Adam Biya, and especially the example of our Rasul Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we have to look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam also at all times. Because we are on millat abikum Ibrahim, we are on the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And that is based on qurbani, on sacrifice. So then Allah Ta'ala gives Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam the hukam and the command that take your wife Hajra and this infant baby which you love to such an extent, and take this child and leave them in the barren lands of Makkah. See. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes Ismail alayhi salatu salam and the mother and makes hijrat, migrates to Makkah. He leaves them there, spends a little bit of time with them, leaves them with a little small ration of food and some water, and he leaves. As he's going, the mother asks, Oh Ibrahim, where are you leaving us and going? Where are you going to? He doesn't know what to say. It's not easy, especially to explain to a woman, you know, it's not easy. So what is he going to say? He kept quiet. So Ismail alayhi salatu salam asked the husband, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, is this the hukam and the command of Allah? Upon that he says, yes, it is the hukam and the command of Allah. He says, idhan layudayyuna. If that is the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never allow us to be destroyed. Allah will look after us. This is the yaqeen that the mothers of those days had. This was the yaqeen that the mother of Ismail alayhi salatu salam had. You see. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam goes, leaves and out of sight. As he's out of sight, he then turns to Allah. It's easy to narrate the incident. Very easy to narrate the incident. But only Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam knew what was going through his heart and mind. Only the mother of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Hajra alayhi salam, knows knew at that time what was going through her mind and heart. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam lifts his hands up and he makes dua, Rabbana, inni askantu min dhurriyati bi wadin ghayri zi zar'in inda baytikal muharram. Rabbana liyuqimu salam. See, he makes dua to Allah that, oh my Allah, I left them in a barren land. Zi zar'in inda baytikal muharram. That there is no habitation, no vegetation, there's nothing there. I'm leaving them in a barren land, but I'm leaving them in your care, O Allah. But then look at what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. The maqsad, what is the purpose of leaving them there at that point? He said, Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Oh my Allah, I'm leaving them there and going away. Why? So that salah can be established. Salah can be established. You know, we talk about preservation of life, you know. Talk about preservation of life. You know, if the modern day thinkers would say that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam committed a great crime, an'auzu billah. Imagine leaving a woman and her child in a barren land. What preservation of life is that? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is telling Allah, liyuqimu salah, Rabbana, liyuqimu salah. I'm doing this in order so that salah can become established there. No. And today, out of, you know, what we can say, fear which is not even established as such, you know. And for this so-called fears that we have within our hearts and minds, people are staying away from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the name of preservation of life, they are staying away from the house of Allah. Instead of bowing down and turning more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are turning away from Allah. Instead of coming closer to the house of Allah, whenever there was any issues in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to immediately turn to salah. One father comes home and he finds that the children are fast asleep. He asks the wife, did their children read their salah? You see, did the children read their salah? So the mother tells the father that there was no food in the house and the children were crying for food, so I lulled them and I put them off to sleep. You know, because they didn't have supper, so they fell off to sleep. You know, if I wake them up for salah, for the Isha salah, then together with that, they will be looking for food and we don't have food in the house. So the father tells the mother that, see, we have to do what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us that when your child is 7 years of age, you must command him to read his salah. When he's 10 years old, you must reprimand him and make him read his salah. That is the hukam of my Nabi. We must do what our Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us. And Allah in the Quran has commanded us, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You must command your family to perform their salah, give them the hukam and the command of salah, and you must be constant there in yourself. And the balance is in the hands of Allah. Allah says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. وَلَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. That we are not asking you for sustenance, we will provide for you your sustenance. So Allah says in the Quran that we must command our children to perform their salah, and Allah will do His part. Please wake them up. So she goes, the mother was an obedient lady also. She wakes the children up, makes them make the wudu, and they perform their salah. They had hardly finished their salah when there was a knock on the door. Hardly finished the salah when there was a knock on the door, and one person comes with a lot of food, beautiful, you know, delicious food, and he presents it to them. He says that the dawat, there was some visitors that were expected to come home, but they didn't end up coming. There was some issue and they didn't eat of the food, and I was looking for a place to pass on this food, and I thought to myself, the first door that I come to, I will give this food over. And something brought me to this door here, and he passed the food over. So we have to do what we have to do, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do his part. We have to have yaqeen and conviction upon that. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Then Allah says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. We gave him the glad tidings of a child that was Halim. Not the Halim we have in Ramadan. That's not that Halim. Halim here means that child who was tolerant yet obedient. One is a person can be very tolerant, you know. He go through hardships and all tolerant, but he does his own things. Here is Halim refers to a person who is tolerant yet obedient to the every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the type of a child Allah bestowed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for the sacrifices that he made. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the sifat of Halim in this boy, in this youngster. That tolerant yet obedient, prepared to do anything for the sake of Allah. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, now when this child comes of that age, you know, he leaves them in that barren land, he goes away, then from time to time he used to come and check on them. According to the commentators of the Quran, from time to time he used to check on them and he used to leave again. So commentators say when Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was about 13 years of age, that is when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sees in a dream. He sees in the dream that he is slaughtering his son. He's running a knife upon the neck of his son. He's slaughtering his son. See, and the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are not like our dreams, you know. Our dreams are affected by the thoughts we have the whole day, what goes through our mind. What we watch on the television, that Dajjal box, you know, what we watch on the Dajjal box, all that plays and it affects our dreams also. Sometimes you eat too much of beans, you may see dragons in your dream too. It depends, you know, what you see in the dream. It all depends on your eating and all that also. But at times, dreams are indications of certain things that are to take place. Or sometimes it is basharat also, glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it is warnings also. That's our dreams. But dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they are true. Their dreams are true and many may. In a time, certain commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are given to Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam via dreams also. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sees in the dream that he's slaughtering his son. He goes up to his son. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't go to his son and tell him, you know what, come now, we have to go, I have to slaughter you, I saw in the dream I'm slaughtering you, it's a command of Allah, and let's go. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes up to his son and he asks him for his rai, for his opinion. He says, see, I've seen in the dream a few times that I'm slaughtering you. What do you have to say about that? Now, as we mentioned, he was a child who was Halim, who was tolerant yet obedient, or an obedient child with the sifat and the quality of tolerance in him. So immediately he says, "Qala ya abatif al ma tu'umar." Oh my father, do what you are commanded to do. If it's a hukam and a command of Allah, then we got no option in the matter. There's no option in the hukam and the commandments of Allah. Five times daily salah, there's no option. We have to read five times daily salah. There's no option in the matter. It's not like, okay, read today, tomorrow I have a break, and read after. No, there's no option in the matter. There are many other amals which are optional. You have options. But when it comes to five times daily salah, there's no option. Likewise, Ismail alayhi salatu salam is telling the father that, oh my father, we have to carry out the command of Allah. Ya abatif al ma tu'umar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Oh my father, inshallah, through the will and the hukam of Allah, through the kudrat of Allah, through the will of Allah, I will be patient. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and Ismail alayhi salatu salam, they get ready, and now they're on their way to carry out the greatest sacrifice in the history of men. Where an elderly father with such great love for this child of his which he got at, which was granted to him at an advanced age, he takes this child in order to slaughter him. Shaitan was not happy about this. Shaitan was definitely not happy about such a great sacrifice taking place in the history of mankind. So he decides to prevent this. And how did he, according to commentators, according to some narration, the first step was, or the first, attack was that going to the mother, to Hajra, alayhi salam. He disguised himself as an old man, and he goes there, knocks on the door, and he asks, where is Ibrahim, alayhi salatu salam, and Ismail, alayhi salatu salam. He said, gone on some errand. The mother replies. He says, no, they're not gone on an errand. The father is gone to slaughter the son. So the mother said, who's so foolish, you know. Where did you see such a father wants to slaughter the son? Especially this father with this type of a child, such a beautiful, wonderful child. Where is he going to go slaughter? What nonsense are you talking? He says, no, you don't understand. He is taking this child and going to slaughter this child because he believes that it is the command of Allah. When he said that, the immediate response of the mother was that if it is the command of Allah, then I have no option in the matter. I have no option in the matter. It is the hukam and the command of Allah, then it has to be carried out. So, he gets, despondent. He loses hope from the mother. He decides to now go and put a stop to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And three different places he tried to prevent him from carrying out this great sacrifice. That is where you get the jamarat, which is where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pelts him with stones, which takes the name of Allah, and realizing that this is shaitan, and he gets rid of him like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمَ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا When father and son, both of them, Allah ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا When the two of them reduce themselves to the obedience of Allah. Complete obedience of Allah. This is aslama, also from Islam. You know, Islam, one of the main, we normally people say, you know, what does Islam stand for? Islam stands, means peace. Islam doesn't mean peace. Islam is where a person subjugates himself to the will and the command of Allah. Yes, Islam promotes and propagates and advocates peace. There's no doubt about that. But Islam in itself, being Muslim, what's the meaning of Muslim? Muslim is one who subjugates his or her will completely to the command of Allah. What Allah wants, we do exactly what Allah wants. And what Allah wants from us, Allah wants from us that we obey and follow the way of Hazrat Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the crux of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah is we will worship none but Allah. In other words, we will please none but Allah. We will only make Allah happy. How will we make Allah happy? Muhammadur Rasulullah. In the way shown to us by Hazrat Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala says here, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا When the two of them subjugated themselves and submitted themselves, reduced themselves to the complete obedience of Allah. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ And then he puts Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam down with his sides of his temple or what you can say, his forehead, the side of his forehead onto the ground. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam runs the knife on the neck of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Upon that Allah says, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا You have made your dream a reality. Because exactly what he saw in the dream, exactly up to that point, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam enacted the dream of his. Exactly up to that point. Because in the dream he saw himself running the knife on the neck of his son. But it never severed the head. There was no blood that shot out from him. So exactly up to the point that he saw in the dream, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made it a reality. And he enacted that dream that he had seen. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ That we replaced the life of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam with that of a ram. The ram was slaughtered. And then Allah ta'ala says, وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ And we made it such that it remained as a symbol for the people to come thereafter. And therefore up to this day, thousands or nay, but millions and of people that make qurbani throughout the world, and for centuries now, so many people do this, all in memory of the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. That is why when Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hazil adahiya Rasulullah, what is this qurbani, this sacrifice, this udhiya that we have to make? He said, hiya sunnata abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnah of your grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So this qurbani that we make, you know, it is in keeping with the sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam made for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of Eid also we must remember the sacrifice that was made. And also the greatest lesson that we learn from this is not the slaughtering of the animal and then eating of the meat and distribution of the meat. These are all secondary issues. Yeah, that's a secondary part of the qurbani. The most important thing is the slaughtering of the animal and reminding ourselves that we have to become obedient to the command of Allah. Allah wants obedience from us. Today, unfortunately, that quality of obedience is not in us. We will do everything, but not with that quality of obedience, of sami'na wa ta'na, of we hear and we obey. The sifat of the Jews was sami'na wa asayna. We hear, but we will do what we feel like doing. So today also, many of us, we want to do what we feel like doing. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes this, sometimes... It all depends. We move with the wind. We move with the times. Or we move with the, you know, the trend in the society. We have to break away from the trends of the society. And we have to become the friends of Allah. We have to now turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we do. And for this, we have to, you know, have ta'lim in our homes. Daily, if we have ta'lim in our homes, then we will realize, you know, that how Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, how Sahaba kiram had turned to Allah, how they had, you know, sacrificed everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, of utmost importance is for us to have ta'lim in our homes. Our homes must become conducive, you know, for the upbringing of our children as far as their Islamic upbringing is concerned, their morals are concerned, mannerism, their character, you know, their akhlaq, etc. Together with that establishing of tilawat of Quran, of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there should be no home where there is any bare namazi in that house. Baligh son, baligh daughter. The most unfortunate thing is in a Muslim home, you know, where father, mother, baligh son, baligh daughter, fast asleep at the time of Fajr. Imagine that. How can that be called a Muslim home? That baligh son, baligh daughter, fast asleep at the time of Fajr. You find many a time, mashallah, the father is there in the masjid. Fajr namaz is there, is the first one. But in his house, wife, son, daughter, fast asleep, not reading Fajr salah. He's concerned about his own salah, but not concerned about the salah of his family. So each household, there should be, you know, this this concern that there must never be a bay namazi in our home. The nahusat and the evil effects of a bay namazi in a home is terrible. It destroys the noor and the barakat of a house. It makes a home gloomy. It might be very, you know, well lit up with LED lights and all, but that's not the brilliance of a home. The noor and the brilliance of a home is with amals, with tilawat of Quran, with salah, with the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make intention, inshallah, for all of us to start ensure that there's ta'lim in our homes, tilawat of the Quran, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 5 times daily salah. And also constant dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The times have become very difficult. There's, you know, a lot of deception out there. There is a lot of fitna out there. We want to protect ourselves, then we constantly read, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Make sure there are other wazifas, other duas that we should read constantly. And also constantly reciting of La ilaha illallah. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to renew your iman, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ قَوْلِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Speak La ilaha illallah as often as you can. One is to make zikr of La ilaha illallah, which is also very, very good. The other is to speak La ilaha illallah. What is meant by speaking La ilaha illallah is that we speak about the greatness of Allah, the kudrat of Allah, that life and death is in the hands of Allah, sickness and health is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what poverty and wealth is in the hands of Allah, everything, security is in the hands of Allah, benefit and harm in the hands of Allah, profit and loss in the hands of Allah. We should constantly speak La ilaha illallah. Then our iman gets strong and then we will be saved from all the fitnas. Unfortunately, many people are getting robbed of their iman. Many people are becoming disillusioned and they're losing hope in the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all understanding. And also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah from all the deception and the fitna that is out there. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لا وحسي ثنانا ليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين. Can't you do that?